Okay, we'll get started for the October 23rd meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District. It is 1 o'clock, and I really appreciate your rescheduling for me. It's very nice, very, very nice. I appreciate it. Okay,
let's
go with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I would entertain a motion to allow the board to conduct this meeting within the AB 2449 guidelines.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Dawn is on Zoom?
Correct.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Hello.
Therefore, I can establish that we have a quorum with all five board members present. Director Clusa is with us on Zoom. Are there members of... Well, it looks like there's a lot of people on. I don't... Is anybody in attendance who would like to address the board on an item not on the agenda today? Don't hear anybody? Tim, you don't think anybody wants to talk today?
Everybody's muted except for Dawn and us.
Okay, very good.
And there's nothing in the chat section.
Thank you. The minutes of the September 23 meeting were attached for your review. Does anybody have any comments or changes?
No.
Good job.
Yes, just a quick note. In the minutes, it said that Santa Rosa will be providing a translator for the dental screens. And it's actually Public Health, Spoke County Public Health Dental will be providing the translator, not Santa Rosa.
Duly noted. And with that change, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Alrighty, moving right along to Tim, the man of the hour.
Sorry. I said I'm about my report. Does anyone have any questions for me? Or do you want to let you know that there's one change since the time that this was submitted? Unit 18 suffered a check engine light, so it's currently in the shop.
I'm sorry, 18?
18, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it's the air filter system is clogged because it's pretty dusty and compacted in there. So that's when I hope is something simple like that. But as soon as I know, everybody else know.
I'm not sure, Tim, that I fully understood what was going on with their said. There's a particular dosage that's unavailable? Is that what
correct.
This is?
So the Versed, we normally carry 1 milligram and 5 milliliters. That's what the county prefers. That's the maximum dose. There was a weather incident back east in which Pfizer lost the facility that manufactures this particular dosage. So we've had to do two different letters of request for waivers from the EMSA to be able to get that particular medication back in stock. And so currently we have what they call 5 and 2. So we have double the amount that's normally we normally carry in one vial. That's what we've got currently in all the rigs. All the paramedics have been signed off on how to use it, stuff like that. They're completely marked different, and the EMSA is on board with what we have. Our hope is that, I think it's mid-November, the other medication should be back available for the patients. The Cecil Boundary sent an email out the night before last and said 1 o'clock in the morning.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Any other questions for Tim? Any update from PGD?
Yeah.
Yes.
You ready? Yeah.
So, update from PG&E. James called and explained that PG&E looked at the meter, looked at everything. They want an electrical engineer to draw plans on how to rewire that breaker and do what they call a bypass test. So currently what it sounds like, and I happen to know this, when we shut the power off, we shut the power off inside the station and there was still power going. So even with the two other breakers that have, or meters that have breakers on them, it's still allowing power to go to those breakers. So somewhere, somehow, in the vast wiring of that station, wires have been crossed and spliced together that should never have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's physically no way to shut the power off completely to that station without disconnecting it from the transformer.
So is the work that needs to be done within the scope of our the electrician we're working
within
with?
The scope, the drawing for the plans are not.
So we have to find an electrical engineer?
Yes, so Vanir would probably be our, I'm guessing would be, because they do construction, and we already have a contract with them. I would recommend that we contact Vanir and see if they have an electrical engineer, not a contractor, but
right.
an engineer.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're meeting with them Thursday, so we'll bring that to their attention.
Yeah.
If that's acceptable.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any other questions on Tim's report?
The acting fire chief is aware?
Yes.
Okay.
Mike Burke is aware of everything. He's been kept in the loop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one item of note, in case that you didn't, this didn't jump out to you, our volumes were way down from what they were last year.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that.
So is this because of San Luis stationing a rig in, is it Los Osos?
Yes. It'd be hard to say no, but it'd be hard to say yes. That rig hasn't been around long enough to collect enough data to give us an answer, but there's a strong possibility that that's the problem. Because we used to run a lot more calls in Cayucas and Morro Bay, and Medical Living used to move up to cover a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
During the daytime hours, it's not moving up as much. So we're saving costs on fuel, but we're losing transports.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That car right now, though, is a pilot temporary, so there's no guarantee that San Luis Ambulance will keep it there.
Ready? Any other? Thank you, Tim.
Also, congratulations on your 100% response time.
Oh, that would be the cruise, not me. But I will pass them on to them.
Yes.
All right.
I'll come around soon, actually.
Yeah, we've got a nice amount of attendance today, which I love. Thank you all for coming. Linda.
Yes. Your financial report is for the month of September and year-to-date July through September. As you can see in the income portion of the income statement, our ambulance revenue is unfavorable to budget, again, for the month of September, and also unfavorable for the first quarter of the year. And we're noticing, like you just mentioned, a decrease in not only transports, but the transports that we have billed have been twice as many Medicare and Medi-Cal, so a lower rate that we're receiving for our transports, our transport income. The district, so we'll keep an eye on that moving forward, you know, as much as we can. The district also received their general and special tax in the month of, actually received it in October, but that was for accrued September tax revenues, so we're favorable to budget for that. Under the other line item, you'll note that we did receive the revenue for the surplus sale of Unit 16, so that was a great job. From Tim and the auction company, so we're excited about that. I did just a quick follow-up from the question that was posed at the last meeting regarding the GEMT program. When we did the initial budgeting, I thought they were the funds received in our 22-23 year were for the prior fiscal year, but however it was for the 21-22 years, so it was misbudgeted for that amount. So I just wanted to clarify that one, and I brought that to our finance committee this month. And then under the payroll expense, we are under unfavorable to budget in the amount of $8,000. Again, we have one paramedic position vacancy, so that's utilizing our part-time and our full-time paramedics to cover those shifts. And we'll see that continue to increase each month. We did receive a refund, which was great for our SDRMA workers' compensation. Each year we file our annual report for our wages, and we either owe more, a little bit more for our premium, or we actually get a refund. So we were lucky that this year we received a refund for that. So that was good news for us. Your operating expenses for the month were favorable to budget. We did not have the auditing fees in the month of September as we had budgeted. And then also the legal fees we have for $5,000. Neither one of those expenses were in the month of September.
Is that just a timing thing? Or?
It's a timing thing. We will not begin our audit until November, so that's probably a good thing for cash flow that will be pushing that expense to November, but it is our yearly budget, so it's accounted for. And let's see, what else did I note here for you? Our other fleet expense, of course, is favorable to budget. We cut the amount of $4,383 of the supplies were purchased the prior month, and you'll see that in the year to date. Yeah, let's see. Your net income for the month of September was favorable to budget in the amount. So we budgeted to have a net loss for the month of September in the amount of $116,000, and our net loss was actually $65,000 with the less expenses that we had incurred. So we are ahead of our budget by $50,000 for that in anticipated expenses, which is good news.
Very good.
As far as other information for our department, our human resource section, all the full-time benefit employees received FSA medical savings plan information, and we are hoping to see a good enrollment for that if they'd like to join by the end of this month of October. And then we'll implement that program January 1st. And that concludes my report.
Any questions for Linda?
No.
No? Thank you. No. Thank you very much, Linda. Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. And I think the bulk of my report... Wait. Yeah, we're on President's Report. I think the bulk of my report, I think, we'll cover in the regular agenda, so I don't have anything specific to call out today. Lynn, let's see here. Lori, I believe you do have some updates for us.
Well, Property and Facilities will be meeting this Thursday with Rob Nash from here to get updates on the cost estimates for the facility, and then we'll also do some further discussion on how to get to the electrical panel. how to get that moving along so that we can get that replaced finally. And I think that's, and we, you know, currently still have the shower, second shower as on our list, but that's been put on hold for a little bit. So that's where we're at. Is there anything else, Jim, with the facility?
Yeah. As you can see in the report, we did install, we had to replace some fans and we installed some new ones. But other than that, the facility, the heaters are installed, everything's, as far as I know, as of right now, in good condition.
Okay. Just waiting for it to get cold.
Yeah.
The crews have already started using the heaters. So
oh, good. Good. Well, sure, at night I can imagine it is cold. All right, Dawn. Healthcare advocacy and outreach.
Well, last week we had our first outreach class on walking tips. We had pretty low turnout, though, and we're going to strategize this coming Monday, we're meeting committee's meeting, to look at other ways that we can be getting the word out about the upcoming class that Michelle will be doing on fall prevention. And we did a lot of social media. We, you know, Diane and Simone, Peter Bouton, flyers. Hmm. We This was a topic that was requested in the survey, so it's a little confusing to me why we didn't have much of a turnout. But Colleen was an incredible speaker, gracious speaker, and what we're going to do is put some of her walking tips into a health article. So it'll be on inside expertise and can share that information. And as I said, we're strategizing about how we might adapt PR for the upcoming fall prevention class. Then with that, since we're rapidly pushing into the holidays, I met with the speaker on music as a stress reliever, and we were originally doing that as a 6 p.m. class, and then we talked further, moving that into post-holidays. She's coming from slow. We wanted to be a good turnout. There's some other details we're coming out, and for the dental screenings, that has also been pushed into now March. And that's from slow public health. They need more time to recruit volunteer dentists and additional staff. I mean, it's really quite an endeavor. And then when I worked with San Rosa's contact, they were in agreement because there are too many holiday events coming up. So trying to push the dental screening before the end of this year is going to be too aggressive. So both of those are also those one screening, one effects is being moved into 2024. And my request on this is actually to all the board members. Any committees you're in, any clubs you're in, if you could share flyers and help get the word out about the November 9th fall prevention class, we have two different times, at 10:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. And Lori has been working with Michelle and put together a banner. She will have a banner out there. But I think we need to get more talking about the classes are back, and we really want to, you know, utilize the experts' time well, and fall prevention is a huge topic. So I'm asking, you know, if all the board members can just get the word out if you haven't already to the groups that you're a part of.
That's going to be in Classroom 12?
Yes. Classroom 12, yes. Yes, thank you. So that covers kind of where we are classes at the moment. Just to update you quickly on our resource guide. As you all know, our English version is in print, and I've been in touch with Julie to see exactly when will that be completed. She said that sorting and mail should be done by the end of the month. That's her estimate, so pretty excited about that. And then the Spanish version has been translated, approved, and now Julie has that, do some design tweaks to it. Then it'll go to printer, and she said, well, we should expect that by mid-November for the Spanish version. So that is moving right on. Any questions?
Great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to finance, do you have any additional?
No, we met on October 11th, had a nice meeting as usual, and covered pretty much what Linda just shared with us.
I'm seeing a recurring theme here.
Yeah, it makes it easy for me.
That's great. So we like it. And Lori, anything to report for development?
With Linda's help, we made application to our county supervisor for funds to help offset the cost of the Spanish translation. We requested $3,000, and we don't have official word yet, right? But we had a very positive phone call from Bruce Gibson.
Nice.
So we should be able to recoup those costs. Linda and I will be working on the FEMA application for a new ambulance, and then also letters to go out to our state senator, assemblywoman, and our state senator, updating them on the cost for the facility and what we would like to request from them.
Yes. So,
we have a few things to do in the next month.
Very good. Okay, so I think we can move on to our regular agenda. Our first item is a request for leave of absence. Tim Bennis has requested a leave of absence. He's indicated to me he believes probably be for a period of time of 3 months. Before we move into a director discussion, is there any member of the public that wishes to comment on this item? No.
Nobody became unmuted.
Do any of the directors have any discussion or questions about this item? Nor do I. So I would entertain a motion to approve Tim's leave of absence.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Did we get Dawn recorded as a vote?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Well, this meeting is going on. Okay. So we'll move on to agenda item number two. This probably should have been discussed. So, Tim, because it also leads up to agenda item two, is that Tim has been working with members of the crew who have volunteered to learn some of his responsibilities so that these things will be covered while he's away. And Tim has been in the office in part. I mean, he had other things to do, but he's also been either has been or is about to be training the crews on these areas of responsibility. Tim, do you know when you think you'll be ready?
I was just thinking an email regarding that. I was shooting for originally when I set everything up with the meeting last week. Mm-hmm. Things have progressed to the point that I'm thinking it'll probably be November 1st. I can take the official leave now, but I'm still going to be available to help in a shadow capacity, if you will, to help them get stuff, because there's a lot, and I don't think that they're going to be able to understand it all. So they've all been told they can call. I will help them with stuff, no problem. And walk them through. It's not going to be an issue for me.
So what day do you plan to start your leave of absence?
That's up to the board.
It sounds like November 1. I don't want you to be training the crews and not be paid for that. So I would suggest if November 1 is the time that you think you'll be ready, that sounds like a good date.
Okay. Still set for November 1 then.
Okay. All right. So moving into the next agenda item, this is a longer discussion because the board had met in closed session either once or twice, but certainly reporting out from last month's closed session of the board. The discussion that has been had just relates to a little reflection on the part of the board of the reorganization that we did about a year ago after Mike McDonough left. And this was the reorganization where we appointed Tim as administrator, and Linda was brand new. And I think that the course of the year has allowed all of us to learn a lot about what was done well and what was probably needing to be tweaked. And the main items are that we want Tim to be available to really be focused on the ambulance, the running of the ambulance, taking care of the ambulances, working with the crews, training the crews, all of the things that really are focused on the clinical operations of the service. And there may be a few other items that he'd pick up. A revised job description is attached, but it makes more sense, particularly given Linda's skill set. And we didn't know what our new person's skill set is, but we happened to hire a wonderful, wonderful person and able to do a lot of the things that I think maybe just a straight finance person could not. So really what our proposal is for another restructuring. And in this case, we would move most of the non-clinical administrative operations to Linda and appoint her as, and we have new titles for these things, but we would have a director of operations and a director of finance. The director of finance would also serve as administrator. Also included in the same agenda item compensation for these positions. The proposed compensation for the administrator and the director of finance is exactly what it used to be for when the roles were reversed, so that the $120,000 salary for the Administrator Director of Finance, $90,000 salary for the Director of Operations. It is similarly to his current contract, although a little different. Tim, who we all know is gracious enough frequently to pick up shifts when we have staffing difficulty. He would be paid at his new rate when he accepts shifts, but shifts in excess of 5 per month. So before we get into a board discussion, I should just keep going on compensation. It is my understanding that there are 3 paramedics who intend to share Tim's responsibilities. So this additional agenda item is to provide temporary compensation in the form of a stipend to the 3 people who are assisting. I think there are 2 of them that will take most of the duties, so the proposal is for $1,000 per month for those 2, and for an additional position who is taking somewhat less responsibility for an additional $500 a month. I would note specifically on this item that we do have a requirement to meet and confer with our labor partner, and the president just did a terrible job doing that, and it did get scheduled, but after this meeting, so Daryl said he thought it would be fine if we adopt the resolutions pending this meet and confer, which will happen this afternoon. Okay, so before we go to director discussion, is there any member of the public that would make a comment on this issue, like to make a comment on this issue? All right, is there any discussion by the board? There are draft job descriptions attached. Iggy, I know I haven't done the crosswalk to our bylaws, and so there may be some, you've reviewed these, there may be some work to go back and make them consistent, or no?
In all likelihood, but the main thing that I noticed isn't mentioned is there has to be one legal representative of the board, or not of the board, but of the healthcare district, and that role resides in the administrator, and it's not mentioned in here.
Just to state that the legal.
Yeah.
We can make that change.
But I think then it's just a matter of changing. I think it's Section 5 and Section 6 of the bylaws. One deals with the Director of Finance and the other the Administrator.
Exactly.
Director of Operations.
Any other questions or comments, concerns?
Anyway, it should be up to Linda, I think, to make those changes, not up to me.
To work to make the bylaws changes once it's adopted.
And then the change can be presented at the next board meeting.
I hear an agenda item.
Yes.
I am not hearing any discussion, and I, you know, in fairness and by explanation to those in the audience, I mean, the board has met in closed discussion to consider some of these personnel issues, and so I'm not surprised that there is very little discussion at the board, because I think, albeit it was, it took us a little time, I think that we had the right conversations with Linda, I think we had the right conversations with Tim, and I think we had the right conversations as a board, and so I don't have any additional comments. I would entertain a motion to approve. I think technically we're not approving the reauthorization, I mean the reorganization, right? Did we do that? I'm reporting out the reorganization. I can do it again, and we can approve it now. Okay, why don't we just approve it now? So I would, I think that, that what would be logical here is that, to take this stepwise, is to approve the reorganizations with the two new employee job descriptions, then to approve revised salary schedule for these individuals, that's number two, and then number three, to approve interim compensation for the three paramedics who will share Tim's duties while...
And then you're going to work out the side letter with the union.
It's a meet and confer, if whatever's required. We're meeting this afternoon. But, and so, yes, that I would want the motion to be subject to. Would somebody like to make one or all of those motions? Tim?
Yes. Can you guys hear me at all?
Yes, we sure can. Hi. Oh, we can even see you.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious, kind of background of the new, you know, proposed position. You know, one of the big concerns that we, you know, as a group have is like the question of, you know, somebody, you know, an operations director having to be on call 24/7.
Yeah.
Right? And that was our big thing, where it's like, you know, how do you supposed to call the organization and all that? And so that was kind of, you know, why me and Mike Bryan volunteered for the, you know, the split duties, but me and both of them kind of, you know, I don't necessarily want to go on call all the time. I have very scheduled. And so I guess my question regarding this, you know, this proposed restructure is, you know, let's say it takes a leave of absence and decide, you know, if this isn't something that I want to do, is, are you going to apply this position as, well, I guess it will still be an admin position, but you're just going to kind of try to apply it to the public and see if somebody would be open to this level of commitment and what it looks like, or kind of what's your, I guess what's your...
Are you asking what happens when Tim gets back?
Yeah, what happens if I don't come back?
Oh, if you don't come back,
yeah.
Well...
That's the concern.
That would be terrible. Yeah, so I'm going to be honest with you, because of where we are currently, I had not given a lot of thought coming into this meeting about that kind of eventuality. But what I am extremely grateful for, and I stopped by the station this weekend and talked to Michael, I think that the support that you guys as a crew have shown to Tim and your willingness to learn more and more of his duties, first of all, it's exceptional, and we're very, very grateful. I have always believed that, let's say Tim comes back, and he's over-dedicated to this agency, but he should have the opportunity to check out. I do think that when he's back, that the notion of one person, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, being the person that gets called for certain things out in the field, which has been Tim, that we really should consider whether or not that duty itself can be shared in a reasonable way, that it does not create conflict. But, you know, of course, if Tim does not come back, we will need a director of operations, and I hope we don't face that eventuality. But I guess we'd recruit, we'd allow in the opportunity for internal applications, and we would go through the regular process. Does that answer your question? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we sure do appreciate your stepping up. Great. Anybody else? Oh, come on, you guys, make that motion. Make one of them.
Hi. What's the first one?
Okay, well, why don't we take the first one?
Let's do one at a time.
I would entertain a motion to approve a reorganization of management of the CCHD under the new job descriptions,
yes,
where we have an administrative director of finance and a director of operations. Both positions report to the board of directors.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion to approve that reorganization?
I would move that we reorganize along those lines.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved, 5-0. The next motion that I'd like to entertain pertains to the compensation for each of these individuals, where the Administrator Director of Finance would receive compensation of $120,000. That is a full-time exempt position. The Director of Operations would receive compensation of $90,000 per year. That $90,000 includes picking up 5 shifts per month. If the Director of Operations picks up more than 5 shifts, he or she would be compensated at his then in effect hourly rate. Do I hear that motion?
Yes, I would move on that one too.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion carries 5-0. And then the third motion would be to approve interim compensation in the form of stipends to our paramedics, which include $1,000 a month for $1,000 a month for Michael Bryant, and $500 a month for Paul. Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I like that. I so moved that we offer stipends exactly as said, Tim, Michael, and Paul.
Yeah, it's terrific. And I just can't thank you enough. And do we have a second? We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That motion carries 5-0. Wow, very nice. Very nice. Next item on our agenda pertains to the Cambria Community Healthcare Trust. And as you will recall, or as you know, the trust is an independent 501c3, and so this board does not govern the trust. However, I'm here as the president of the trust to solicit your
trustee of the trust
to solicit your input on 2 changes pertaining to the trust. One of them is a change. It's really an expansion in the charitable purpose. The previous charitable purpose that was in place was somewhat narrowly constructed to include investments in facilities and equipment. And I think, as we're finding, is that there are occasions when the CCHD is desirous of doing things that are beyond that scope, that have community impact. And I'll give you a great example would have been this community health education guide. And so the proposal, I still can't find it for some reason. Maybe I've got it. That the revised charitable purpose would be. Oh, I got it. Proposed change, there it is. Purposes set forth in its 501c3, the internal revenue, including. I am not finding this. Oh, there it is. The trust will be organized and operated to raise funds for vital health care services and community education in Cambria, San Simeon, and the surrounding areas of California. I don't know if that revision from the currently more narrow definition, I'd just like to hear your input if that sounds like the right change.
You know, my initial thought when I compared the two and saw this, the core of what would be changed is I wonder how that might affect those who would want to contribute to this. I think there are some people who would feel very enthused about contributing to equipment or even facility and maybe a little bit more ambiguous in their desire regarding education and even a broader scope in general. So, you know, we certainly wouldn't want to make a change that had had significant number of people less excited about contributing to that 501c3. That was my thought.
Yeah. And it is a balancing act, too, because, for example, let's say we broadened it from today but narrowed it from what's written here.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds of things that I started thinking about that if we stuck to our existing sphere, if you will. Well, you know, we've talked about other healthcare needs. What if we figured out a way for our operation to offer lab draw services, which is something that's in active discussion? And that is something that may, whether it be for stat testing or whatever kind of on-site equipment may be needed for that, that's what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
when I wrote it this way, although I am very open to input.
Well, I think it still needs to include vital equipment and facilities. So, I mean, you could say simply raise funds for vital equipment and facilities to include vital healthcare services and community education. I mean, if you just simply did it that way and expanded it from what it is now.
I like the description of healthcare services, because I think community education comes under that, as well as one of the obstacles I keep encountering when we're operating to the Hispanic community is the lack of translators or people who do translation, the fees involved with that, and we're really trying to do outreach in that area, and that's it's a service, it's part of what we're trying to improve the entire community of what we're doing. Well, I like the idea of services.
Do we have any sense of, I'm newer to the board and certainly wasn't on when this was developed. Do we have any sense of who contributed to it in the past and what was the strong impetus? Was it tied?
I don't know.
Well, what I can tell you is that in the short time, what is it? This is the third year?
Yeah,
since we've had it. We've made annual solicitations, and this is kind of where I think people either are motivated to give or not give,
right?
Because the letter itself tells the community what it is this season that we're trying to raise money for. So, for example, one year we were clearly raising money for an ambulance,
right?
And we did that last year, knowing that we were trying to figure out how to make our crew quarters safe as well as more comfortable. That was the specific ask.
Okay, so we have a specific ask on the ambulance.
I think I suspect that's where people get motivated or not, is in the letter itself.
And in that letter, I know that with a 501c3, if there are monies given with an intent, I write a check for $50,000 for the next ambulance, or for, mm-hmm. then
you have to spend it on
then we have to, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, within that annual appeal, do we assume that monies were being sent for whatever we put in the annual appeal? If we say facilities or ambulance or whatever is, that's what we're shooting for this year. Do we then just assume that all the money that comes in is for that?
That's the way we've done it so far. I mean, I think there is a trick to that because you need to honor the donor's intent, and yet the amount that you raise that year using that letter,
mm-hmm.
maybe more than right. what you needed right. to spend for that purpose, which is a little bit where we were on
okay.
the facility. Although if you go back and look at it, we did spend more than... That's a bad example then. I just could see it happening
sure.
where there was other uses. And so that's making me more sensitive to the way the letter's written.
Right.
I don't know that anybody spends a whole lot of time looking up the what you filed with the IRS as a charitable purpose, but I do think it has everything to do with what your communication materials say. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I wonder if we have to refile with the IRS if we expand.
Yes, that's what this discussion is about. We would need to refile with the IRS.
So my suggestion is to leave the wording essentially as it is and simply add healthcare services and community education.
I'm supportive of that.
Yes.
Okay. I am going to take this offline because I haven't done it, but we will be crafting a letter for this year's solicitation, which we will be sending in November, so I will try and get it to you shortly. I was struggling to recall the feedback that you had given me about, because this year is sort of tricky that way. We aren't purchasing an ambulance. What did we say we...
Money towards the purchase of an ambulance.
Money. Oh, so we were going back to ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because we have one on order that is supposed to be delivered, when, 2025?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I might think in terms of letter, since we're new at this, but it is interesting that if 2 years ago people had gotten a letter saying we want a new ambulance, we issued press releases saying we have a new ambulance, and then you, right away this year, in the year that you got the ambulance, saying we want a new ambulance, and I understand it, you all understand it, about the cycle that we're in, about needing to replace these vehicles, but I think we'll need to think about how to explain that to
you. We're asking, we need money for the down payment. I mean, it's 300,000 or more? What is it?
Wow. 250,
I think.
Oh, 250, oh, great. I was like, that'd be a 30%.
So it's
just helping the community understand why we need another one. That's
right.
The real issue.
Yeah.
But I understand we need that. Oh, great.
Well, our oldest ambulance has, it's over 200,000 on it now.
Yeah. Our second oldest.
Yeah. Okay.
Why the 18 is the oldest that we have, the oldest first out, and has over 200,000 miles on it.
Well, so there you go.
So our new one obviously has low mileage. The second newest one,
which is unit 20, is almost at 100,000 miles, and that's actually a gas engine. So 160,000 miles that engine's going to go out.
And how many miles do we put on these vehicles each year?
Year, I have to go back and
okay. I might benefit from that feedback. Yeah.
I have all the gas laws, I can figure that out pretty easily.
Yeah, because to your point, I think that may be something we'd want to weave in for people to understand that we are staffing two full-time ambulances for this community, and we want both of them to be state-of-the-art and in good condition. And, you know, these vehicles drive around a lot. Yeah.
And then we have the 4x4, which has what now, probably around 40,000 miles?
42,000.
Since we acquired it.
No. It had about 25 when we acquired it.
Oh, that's right. So that's very low mileage.
It's a very specialized
ambulance. And now when it needs repairs, parts are hard to find, right, Tim?
Yes, parts are
rebuilt.
The benefit for the two units that we're talking about, the 4x4 and the Unit 18, is the patient care compartment can actually come off and go on a different chassis. So that will save the district about half the cost of an ambulance. That's why we've migrated to the type of ambulances that we're migrating to, is so that they can be what they call reboxed or remounted.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially cutting the cost of the vehicle in half.
And the reason we ordered the other type when we did it was that was all we could afford.
Correct.
Right.
We did it for financial reasons.
And it is not ideal for long transports.
No.
Correct. It's just.
Yeah, I had feedback from a recent transport that said the care offered by the staff was fantastic. The ride was
Oh dear.
So that must have been probably in unit 20.
Either that or the 4x4.
Oh, well. Well, it was from the MERT, so I don't think people would use the 4x4.
No. We may have it. One of the other ones is in the shop or down or something. So. But not likely. It's very rare the 4x4 gets used. It's primarily for up the coast, and it did go up the coast last week for two patients. There was two ambulances that went up the coast for two patients.
The second piece of this, I think I've recorded your thoughts, and I'm very grateful for them. And I don't have the letter today, so under item three, and again, some of this could be all done at the same time. You're changing the charitable purpose. You'd be rewriting the articles and governance bylaws, but it doesn't. In my opinion, having served as president and therefore trustee, that if for a philanthropy to be successful, it should have broader governance. You typically have people that wanted to serve to help raise money for that activity. So the idea here is that we increase the number, we add three additional positions here as a secretary, and then two additional board members, and with the real goal of finding people that are very supportive of the healthcare district and all they do, and want to help us raise that money.
So you want board members specific for the trust, not board members from here?
Correct.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, that's what I wanted discussion about.
I think it's a good idea to broaden the number of folks that are invested.
Yeah, but then you start to lose some control. Let me just use as a real-world example. The current employee's charitable vehicle, which is Project Heartbeat?
Correct.
Yeah.
And how successful have you been in the last year trying to get through to who?
I did have a conversation with Bob Putney 2 weeks ago, and he said he would look into it and then get back to us, but he was going out of town to visit family, and I have not heard back from him since that 2 week period.
What was he looking at? This is, can't remember when we first started talking about reaching out to them, but was there...
We're trying to see if we can get money for the employees and start a line of communication, which has been dead for, what, maybe a year and a half?
2 years.
2 years. Now, that wouldn't happen if the trustee was always solely president of the healthcare industry for our trust. But there's a danger in getting other people involved. Okay, so that's one aspect of Project Heartbeat. The other aspect is that at one time, Dr. Fratto was a member of that board.
Of Project Heartbeat. So just, had a board, like a multiple person board. Okay.
And was it Dave Melendi?
Yes, Dave Melendi, Christy Jenkins, Dr. Fratto were all members. And I think Fratto was one of the original members also.
Who was?
I think Heidi was one of the original members, but I'm not 100%.
Anyway, so I can just say that when I was the trustee, I knew that if I needed help with, you know, making a decision as the trustee, I could always, and the bylaws of that organization of the trust allow for the trustee to ask the rest of the board for counsel or to go outside. I don't know about that particular thing, but certainly nothing would prevent having community members as volunteers. And I'm wondering if legal counsel that advised us on that trust document could be contacted and asked, can we, without modifying the trust document, actually go out and get volunteers to serve as you write?
Yeah, and I can't imagine that that answer would be no. I mean, I assume that that answer would be
yes. So if the answer
is
yes, then we don't need to modify, and we don't need to, you know, the only modification is to broaden the scope slightly to what we can collect money for.
The charitable purpose.
Yeah, the charitable purpose. But I think you hopefully have all the authority you need as trustee to get whatever help you need to improve the effectiveness of the outreach, the charitable outreach. But
possibly. I haven't gone out and tried yet. I'm thinking that part of the reason that philanthropies offer these board positions is because it provides more recognition for that volunteer effort. I think it sounds different than, will you help me with all this work? Obviously, you're not saying that. You know, I have a bunch of work to do where I really need help in getting feedback and outreaching to the community. Can you help me? Versus, I need, you know, I'd like to put together a small board that can work with me. And those things sound different. And so I totally understand what you're saying. So I think those are the pluses and minuses for sure.
Anyway, I just wonder if contacting counsel, you can find a way to do what you want to do without rewriting.
Yeah. Is that, and that was a different counsel then? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember the name.
I'd be happy to have that be a next step.
Mm-hmm.
Contact counsel.
I think I handed over the folder to you, Linda, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the attorney's information should be in that folder.
All right. Well, we'll do that. All right.
So, actually, the trust operates as a separate entity. So you as trustee may have the power simply to just go ahead and...
I mean, theoretically, yes. And I mean, it's, in a weird way, I think that's an issue, too. I mean,
yeah.
It feels like there ought to be two officers of a corporation that's raising tens of thousands of dollars. It just... But let me talk to counsel and get some feedback.
It ain't millions.
Well, but it should be.
Could,
you know,
be.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. Just waiting.
Anyway, my point is that even though we as a board set this trust up, the trust operates as a separate entity. So I don't think you have to come to this board to get done what you want to do.
I specifically came to ask for your advice.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need. So you don't need like a resolution
or
anything.
We do not. In fact, we should not have one. But I do appreciate your guidance. And this is a relatively brief agenda for today's meeting, but I also know that there are upcoming meetings where there are some bigger items. And so I want to talk about future agenda items. You would expect to have a report from Vanir at the next board meeting?
Yes.
Yes,
uh-huh. Yes, I do. We're supposed to have it Thursday for discussion. So.
And I presume that you would be able to speak about, I mean, I don't know, but we could talk about the shower, or not the shower, but the PG&E, whatever you end up having to do there.
Yeah, we'll include that
as
well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we'll decide whether or not we want Bob Nash to present, but they, we'll have a discussion on who would be best to present the costs. But we'll decide that on Thursday. I'll let you know.
Linda, do you anticipate items that would be coming up on next month's board agenda?
I have nothing at the moment. I know I'm on until November. I think we're doing the FEMA grant other than that, I don't know.
That probably actually won't be due until January,
right?
February, which is nice.
Right. And,
but the letters to the legislators be due the first part of January as well.
Yeah, I mean, in my limited experience, it's better to get very clear with those legislators right ahead of when they...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This session normally opens in that first week of January, so I would say that you'd want to get it in December. So
that,
because it's amazing, they start putting those budget packages together the minute they get there. Yeah.
And typically, I look back at your last year's October agenda and see if there's something that needs to want. I always go back the year anytime I look on the agenda for you, but I didn't bring that today. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Just something that I want to bring up because it came up in our labor discussions. Not sure how we would go about talking about this as a board, but and apparently it's not been the first time that they brought this up, is we had a discussion early on about whether or not the business model we have in collecting ambulance fee revenue along with some supplemental taxes is going to create financial viability for the district over the long term. And we say this, I say this, and the reason Daryl brings it up, and I totally agree with him, is that our property tax revenue and our fee increases from Medicare or private payers do not go up as much as our costs of doing business do. And I think it's prudent to look ahead. I don't know what options we have. I mean, they would range everything from seeking increased supplemental income or to adding services that are more profitable than an ambulance. Just some way to create greater financial stability in the long term. And so in some forum, I would like for us to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay, just put it down there. Maybe not next month, but yeah, because I would want to think about who, you know, how to present it, how to talk about it, mm-hmm. how to generate ideas in an environment. Any other? I'm turning now to my left. Any agenda items anticipated? Dawn, any agenda items anticipated? You can always contact me in between meetings if something comes up.
Yeah,
not this
time.
Okay. All right, well, I think that Vanier report will be a very meaty agenda item.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, I'm just guessing, that we're going to have either Michael Bryant or Tim here talking to us about the operations report, and that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Fun for us. I hope it's fun for you, too. All right, everybody. Unless there's no further business, I'd like to call the meeting to adjournment. It is 2:02. Our next meeting will be on November 28th. And tell me that's not Thanksgiving weekend. Okay. It's the weekend after. Very good. So we will all meet with full tummies on November 28th at 9 a.m. here in this room.
All wearing sweatpants.
All wearing sweatpants. With the expando belts. Yeah. Love that gavel.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.